Praise God, today is Sunday, the 2nd, 2020. And today I want to talk about the ultimate stress. And not because I stress, but because we all as a human creation experience levels of anxiety and levels of not understanding and, you know, levels of just things that try to attack our personality and our character and try to attack our spirit man, try to attack our everything about us. And but the Bible teaches us, it says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
And so the ultimate stress is when everything that you have been facing comes to this point of where it can terrify you, where it can hurt you and make you feel like you can't go forward because you don't like what you're feeling. And I know we've all experienced that in our lives because we're human, and we will continue to experience stress and anxiety, but it can be defeated. The Bible doesn't teach us that we're not going to have human emotions.
Amen.
But it tells us that we need to learn how to control those emotions and be able to use God's word to fight against those emotions. And when things happen, you can say, well, my Bible that I read says that I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength.
Amen.
And, you know, the enemy would have it to where he would want us to make excuses and say, well, we can do what we want to do. The Bible doesn't teach us that we can do what we want to do. It teaches us that we need to follow what God is engrafting in our spirit to do. A lot of times, though, we don't understand that because we feel that we're going one way and we don't necessarily see the other way that we're going. So, in my life, I have experienced that because I thought that I was going to have to do things for the Lord that were going to turn out one way, but God shifted the things that God is doing in my life to a different place. You all understand what that means in this is just in your life, not in my life, but as an example, but in your life as a reality. And so, Moses was under a lot of stress. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Moses was the writer, the author of Genesis.
Amen.
God spoke to Moses and told Moses, I want you to write and tell the history about how I made all of humankind, what my laws and statutes and precepts are, why people cry, and how to build things. I want you to educate my people. Now, we've heard that the people of God have been called a stiff-necked people, right? They're hard-headed, don't want to listen. You got to pull your whip out and whip them on, you know, and then they'll listen. You know, it almost sounds like bad children. And you spank your children because you don't want to spread the rod. Well, this is happening to Moses. in the book of Genesis. Praise God. Now, I can only imagine and put myself in the position of where I can halfway understand what the duty of Moses was, because, you know, you don't see that it says Moses was told by God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Do you see that?
No.
What do you see? In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says that
in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
In the beginning, Moses helped to create the
No.
Praise God. Continue on.
The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep.
Praise God.
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Keep going.
Then God said, "Let there be lights," and there was light.
Come on.
And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
Keep going.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. God's ready to do something great.
Amen.
He's telling Moses. Moses is at this point just writing. And we're going to get to how this relates to the ultimate stress, because, you know, this is what we're talking about. What that means. Don't complicate this. This can be something where you can complicate it by saying, well, you know, he's talking about the ultimate stress, and then Moses and him leading the people in Genesis, the creation of God and all this. How is all this going to pan out? Is all this equal? And all this is equal because the first book of the law was written by Moses. Now, the first book of Moses. Now, why would the book of Genesis be called the first book of Moses? Well, because Moses, now, I want to take you somewhere real quick. In the New Testament, you know, there were letters and they were written to all the churches, right? And they were handed out to different churches around the world, some in Lacodosia, some in the Philippines, and et cetera, right?
Amen.
And when the writer of those books, you know, it was generally Paul and a few others, you know, Timothy and people like that, passed out all these letters and everything all over the globe and to churches, and that's how they heard the word of God. Then they called the letter by name, by their name. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and so forth. In this situation, this is the entirety of creation being wrote. And so we call it the Book of Moses because Moses is writing a real story about everything that happened before mankind truly came to God, actually.
Amen.
Now, some there are some discrepancies, and there's people that probably will argue somewhere on that. But mankind has been calling out to God for years, but mankind has also been evil over the years. There was a lot of violence filled the earth. How many of us remember that? Violence filled the earth.
Amen.
What happened when violence filled the earth? Well, when violence filled the earth and the man's heart began to be cold, God said, I'm going to start over again. That's when the flood came. And we know we've been there. We read about the flood, and we know all of that. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't start hearing about Moses until you get into the book of Exodus. I would encourage you to go back and reread Genesis, but read it from the writer's perspective, from Moses' viewpoint, and write down the thought of, why did Moses write this way? And we're not in seminary school this morning. But I can promise you that we'll get something out of this. Because this is what's relieving stress for me today, is that I understand how hard the struggle was that God had to work through man to get man to listen. He had to work very hard. He had to come in the form of man, get whipped, beat up beyond recognition, and then talked about, spit on, and mocked, and killed just before people would even pay attention. I pray that you don't have to see Jesus in a physical form this morning to know that he exists.
Amen.
Or, you know, hear God's audible voice just so you'll be able to accept talking to God. A lot of people don't want to take the time to talk to God because they feel like that they can't talk to such a person in a high place. So they talk in fear. And what is talking in fear? Talking in fear, when you're talking to God, you're not telling him everything.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows it, though.
Yeah.
So he's sitting up there, like, look at this crazy nut here. Think, I don't know what you're thinking of. I know what you're thinking. I made you. I said, and the funny thing, you ought to look at your children and see some of these things. Uh-oh. A lot of toes get stepped on, but it's the truth. Stress can cause you to react emotionally. Stress can cause you to be despondent. How many of us know what despondent is?
Mm-hmm.
What is despondent?
Despondent. Not reacting, not responding to anything.
When we get to a place in our spiritual walk that we can understand that we need to respond to the quickening of the Holy Spirit, then we can then understand that this is how God intended for us to be. And then it becomes a natural thing to us. But we're not doing that. What are we doing? The Bible says to walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Does it say walk in the Spirit so that you can just tell people that I can walk in the Spirit? It doesn't say that. So, but, and I thank God I didn't write the Bible. Because if I did, we would be all messed up right now. First chapter, the book of my mistakes. Let me tell you. Moses had to understand how to talk to the people. Praise God. We're going to get to this right here. Praise God. You got the Bible turning through the book of Exodus chapter number 4. Get there, say amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee." Does that sound pretty stressful to you?
Yes.
That's going to the mind of Moses right here. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And when he put forth his hand, he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand."
Amen.
Praise God. Let me tell you something about that. If you're stressing out that today, God's going to give you something in your spirit to where you're going to be able to take a hold of it, and it's going to be a tool that can transform to kill the enemy.
Amen.
You want to know how to overcome stress and overcome feeling powerless. When God has called you, he has given you power. And I'll say that again. When God has called you, he has given you power. Now what are you going to do with it?
Amen.
And we're going to keep on sitting around thinking that we're still nobody. Nobody won't listen to me because they didn't listen to me when I first started my job. Or they didn't listen to me because my voice is not as loud as the pastor's. That used to be the one that get me right there. Ain't nobody gonna listen to me. I can't talk that loud. Let me tell you, God didn't call you to have a fear of Timothy. He called you to be full of power.
Amen.
Have a sound mind. Walk uprightly with a smile on your face. Walk with the power of God in you, alive and active and well that you would be full of the anointing of God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but that's enough to make me excited there. Hallelujah. I know it makes me feel. I know, in comparing this here, getting God's word and it through, you know, his word, I'll be enough to get you through.
Amen.
But when are we going to allow it to happen? We're barely making it. As some people say, you're on your last legs. Now, I tell you that we need to stand up and fight back against the enemy.
Amen.
You're facing something right now that you don't know what kind of decision to make on it. You need to fight back.
Amen.
With the word of God. And if people around you don't want to listen to the word of God, then you counsel them out.
Amen.
I know that's probably hard to say, because some people are like, what do you mean counsel people out? What is counseling people out? I mean, you put the deaf to the ear of what they're saying. They're going to say a lot. They talked about Jesus Christ and they killed him. What else are they going to do with our lives? Especially because we believe in the true God.
Amen.
And see, that's the thing. We know who we believe in. If they tell you, who do you believe in, what are you going to say?
Jesus.
They've got a big 45 pointing at you right at your head. Here you go. Who do you believe?
Jesus.
And they got a big old juicy steak dripping with a bunch of all the trimmings you like, gravy and everything. And then there's a big red truck with the...
It's still Jesus.
Jesus said I can have the steak and the truck.
There's a lot of people be looking at that steak like, boy, I would like to eat that. Let me tell you. But we've got to understand, we've got to know who we live for. We can't let things hang us up. Anybody. And I, you know, as I tell you about, you know, and I've said this a lot of times about the worst 3 years of my life. You know, and you're wondering, I've wondered, well, how come God's not moving? Well, because you're being stupid. You know, I 3 years of my life was on the hang up to dry because I thought I was could transform people. How many of us think we can transform people?
No.
Here's another question. How many of us want to transform some people?
Yeah. But anyway.
Just tell the truth.
And it's all right. We're here with, you know, We want to do things because our you know, I'm not going to sound like some other people, my flesh, your flesh, you know, but.
Yeah, I've heard about the flesh.
But we're going to talk about not just your flesh, but your natural man lives in you. You can give him power and he runs your life. And you know what can give him power? That itty bitty thought. Itty bitty thought. Here's what happened to me. Oh, I could just go along with the crowd and scare this guy laying on the bench over here, and surely they won't take me to jail, and I won't have to go to prison for 3 years. And well, I was so stupid, I went on over there and did it. You know. Now, God worked out in that in my life to tell me how not to make stupid choices like that. How many of us want to learn how to make better choices?
Amen.
It's important to make godly choices so our lives can line up with the Word of God. And it's not so that people can look at you and say, oh, look, that's the picture perfect people. It's not for that. It's because you have a relationship with God.
Amen.
That you're accountable to. And we all want to love God enough and talk to God and spend time with Him for Him to be able to do things in our life. But a lot of times we want everybody else to do everything in our life. We don't want God to do something in our life. Because we know that if God does something in our life, we're not going to get what we want. So I'm just going to put it out there. If God does something in your life that's going to raise you up, your sacrifice is you're not going to get what you want. How many of us can say amen to that, or oh me? We all get very afraid of that. You mean to tell me I can't know? God doesn't say in the Word that you get what you want. You get what He gives you. Mm-hmm. Not the other way around. And by the way, the world doesn't owe us. Because I used to think that one myself. Boy, I was hung up on that one. I got out of prison the first time. I said, they owe me $100.
Okay.
See, I got out of state jail, and they only give you $50 at the gate. I mean, that's the rest of the story.
Okay.
And when you get out of prison, they give you $100.
Okay.
For time served. And a raggedy set of clothes. But I got out of state jail, and I said, where's my money? Let me tell you something. When God gives you something, you ain't got to worry about it. Him giving you half of it.
Amen.
He's going to give you all what you need. Everything you need, He's going to give it to you. Like the scriptures say, it says all, you know, He's going to give you everything. All things work for the good.
Amen.
Of who? Of those that are on the earth?
Of those who love the Lord? I'm saying it wrong.
You know, all things work for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And the key word is called according to His purpose. How many of us know that we're being called?
Amen.
How many of us accept our calling?
Amen.
How many of us know that God changes our calling within our calling?
Yeah.
And that's where we start having problems with God at. How come you changed this shit? I was on the roll, and you was? We need to understand that God can do whatever He wants to do in you and through you.
Amen.
You're His body. Not the other way around. And that's why we shouldn't put things in our body, number one, like smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol to the point where we're puking up blood.
Mm.
drinking alcohol to the point where you wake up and you had diarrhea all over the place. What good is that going to do?
No good.
You know, in my life, those were the things that had happened to me. And one time I went, I said, how in the world did I smell like this here? And let me tell you, that's not good.
Yeah. You look like you can smell it.
I mean, it must have smelled baby diapers before.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby diarrhea diapers.
Yeah.
When they have had stomach viruses.
Yeah. That was 2 months ago.
I mean to tell you, I would not wish it on anybody. But see, that's what happens when you let yourself be susceptible to the enemy. Is you allow for those things to manifest in you and to cause you to have all kind of natural problems. How many of you know that spiritual things can heal you naturally?
Amen.
And if you do physical things, you can hurt yourself naturally.
Amen.
You keep on telling yourself, I'm nobody. You're going to, your spirit man is going to say, well, I guess he don't care about me. And he runs and tucks his tails and hides. He was praying for you, but when you kept on talking about him, he left. And by the way, you might not always feel God's presence. God's word said, my spirit won't strive with man always. Is that what the word says?
Amen.
Does that mean that God's spirit's going to be with man forever while he's on this earth?
No.
So if you don't wake up one day and you don't feel like God's there, it's not because he's not there. It's because you're human.
Amen.
God wants us to call on him. Call on him. And nobody wants to call on God anymore. Everybody wants to, they call on other things.
Amen.
They watch these football games like today.
Oh.
They watch these football games. And they cheer on. But how many of us want to cheer for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You know, don't get me wrong. I like to watch games and stuff, but games are not more important than my life with God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. God is an awesome God.
Amen.
And he has great plans for all of our lives.
Hallelujah.
And you're stressing out. You don't have to worry anymore. If a little guy like Moses can make it through, and he had a speech impediment, what more can God do in your life? Probably say, well, I don't know how to talk to people that much. I just want to talk to people that I know. People I'm comfortable with. And we can't talk to just people that we're comfortable with, because you know who God's going to send to you?
The person you're not comfortable with?
Exactly. You're going to see that person going to try every part of your patience, and then you're going to sit up there and say,
Lord Jesus.
I have to have Jesus, but let me tell you something. Instead of saying I have to have Jesus, what we should be doing is saying, I take what God has put in me. You have it in you. God's not going to put more on you than what you can bear. And then we always, we're quick to roll with that. Why do they always have to come to me? Yeah, that used to be one of my biggest things. I would have so many people come up to me and talk. I don't want to talk to all these people. I said, I want to talk to a few people. God said, you talk and open your mouth, and I'm going to feel it. And that's what he wants to do in all of our lives, is to fill us with his word so that we can overcome stress. Stress is on an all-time high right now. Everybody's stressing over somebody died and they want to drag it on. And you know, if you're dead in this world, you're alive in Christ. But we keep on talking about people that legends. And oh, he's a legend. And he's an American icon. He is not Jesus Christ. Praise God. People who died in this world, guess what? They don't. They're free.
Amen.
You want to know why we should be grateful? Because the day that we're not in this body anymore is the day that we have been unchained. Yeah. We got things a lot backwards. You know, we keep hearing on the news and hearing everywhere. And one person said he was taken from us.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but
God doesn't take people. He calls them home.
Amen.
We're the ones that take things. We take things. We take all these emotions and then we make everybody else try to feel sorry for us. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to make people feel sorry for us, is we need to learn how to go before God, man, you know.
Amen.
We need to quit trying to let our mouths overload what the truth really is. And I'm paraphrasing. And a lot of people say, ooh, he said that. Mm-hmm. If the shoe fits, then go ahead and wear it. But I guarantee you have to watch what kind of clothes you put on every day, what kind of things you think of every day, what kind of voice that you use every day. You want to know how to be stress-free and you want to, you know, want to go higher in him? Well, it starts with your attitude.
Amen.
What is so hard about saying that you're sorry? How many of us struggle with saying I'm sorry? If you've done something wrong.
I think I've gotten a little bit better. I think.
How many of us don't know when we make somebody feel offended, and then we don't say sorry because we didn't know that we offended the person because we didn't. And so the point being is that when we understand that that we just want to love everyone the same as God loved us, then we can truly be sorry. But we can't be sorry if if we don't think that we're on this other level above everybody. God didn't make one person up here and another one down there. But we're the ones down here on earth, and just because this person has $1 million, this one has 10, doesn't mean that either one of them are above one another.
Amen.
If you cut that person, he's still going to bleed the same as the other ones. We all bleed the same color, and it's blue. A lot of people say it's red. Oxygen turns the blood to the color red.
Amen.
But your blood is really blue. There's a lot of things that shocked me, especially about science. That's why I began to be a science nerd in my life. I started opening up all these books about science and said, oh, my. But you know, God worked in all science and everything like that.
Amen.
I would encourage you to look at something when you get time. It's called How Great Is Our God video. Look at How Great Is Our God video. It's going to show you about some science.
Is it a YouTube video?
It's a video called How Great Is Our God. Not the the song.
Okay. Okay.
I've seen that several times. Let me clarify.
That's why I asked.
This video that I'm talking about, it's going to show where they show a cross in the atmosphere.
Okay.
And it's going to tell you all about it. And there's the stuff that glues everything together in all of our DNA. And who knows what it's called? I'm glad you asked. It's called laminin. Laminin is the stuff that glues all of our body together to make it whole. And guess what form it's shaped in? It's shaped in the cross. God even put in our DNA the makeup of him, all the way to the point where even our DNA structure has been made after the image of Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Right here in the book of Exodus, chapter number 16, Moses begins to feel a little bit weary right here. And I'll point this out and we'll be on our way. Verse number 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur against you? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. The people of God were complaining about how they were hungry, and they needed something to eat, and they wanted bread and meat. But God's word said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
But yet, these stiff-necked people wanted bread and meat. Now, that would have been a lot to exhaust a human being. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said to the congregation of the children of Israel, come near the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even yet shall eat flesh, and I in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass, and even the quails came up and covered the camp in the morning, and the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew laid was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there was a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they saw one to another, it is manna, for wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Praise God. Right here, the Lord is providing bread.
Amen.
The people are concerned about, that's not going to fill me up. Then they were, well, how is there so much of it? But watch and pay attention to what they're going to do. This is the thing which I, the Lord, had commanded to gather of it every man according to his eating, and omner for every man according to the number of his persons, to take every man which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet with the omer, they gathered much and had nothing over. And he gathered little by no lack, and they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave till in the morning. Now watch and pay attention to this. They decided, I'm going to keep some bread. Somebody read the next verse.
Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Really, people.
That sounds like something that we do today.
Yeah.
Want to hoard stuff. Oh, if I save it, we don't need to worry about how much stuff we give away if we don't have something in our icebox. God will bless you to be able to have what you need.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
At the time you need it. Praise God. So don't worry. Don't become dismayed. Don't allow the enemy to come in and tell you that you need to stress today.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a child of God. You have been anointed unto good works.
Amen.
Praise God. Let us stand to your feet. Praise God. We're just so excited about this word today, of how we know we don't need to stress over anything.
Amen.
Because we know that God has everything in control.
Hallelujah.
And that no matter what people might say around us, but God knows exactly what he's doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And now unto him who's able to keep us from falling as we depart from this place, but not from your presence, Lord, be with us, your people, until the very end of the age. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen and amen.
January 10th. Beware of overthinking things, obsessing about unimportant matters. When your mind is idle, you tend to go into planning mode, attempting to figure things out and make various decisions before you really need to do so. This is an unproductive way of trying to grasp control, and it is a waste of your precious time. Often, you end up changing your mind or forgetting what you decided. There is a time for planning, but it's definitely not all the time, or even most of the time. Seek to live in the presence more, where my presence awaits you continually. Refresh yourself in my nearness, letting my love soak into your innermost being. Relax with me, putting aside problems so you can be attentive to me and receive more of my love. Your soul thirsts for me, but often you don't realize what you're really longing for. Awareness of my presence. Let me lead you beside quiet waters and restore your soul. Just as lovers don't need to say much to communicate deeply, it is in your relationship with me, the lover of your soul. Amen, amen. And so our scriptures for today are Ephesians 3:17-19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Our next scripture is Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh long for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen, amen. And our last scripture is Psalms 23:2-3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen, amen. You have a blessed day.